This is Matt Wells at UN News. Female peacekeepers are recognised by the United Nations and member states as being central to the success of the organisation's 14 missions around the world. But substantially increasing the overall number of women remains an elusive goal. Ahead of a UN Institute for Training and Research event, Anne Blomberg from the Geneva Centre for the Democratic Control of Armed Forces, DCAF, told UN News how its report identifies what the obstacles are and what steps should be taken to bring about change.
The proportion of women in the police in peacekeeping operations are around 6 to 10%. In military roles, around 2 and 4%. And these are numbers that have been pretty stagnant for the last 10, 20 years, despite a lot of efforts to increase those numbers and lots of targets set by the UN.
The targets are what, 10% of women, they should be military personnel, and 15% should become police officers. When are those targets due to be achieved, or when is the likely date that might happen? And how is your organisation helping identify obstacles, and how many are there?
Well, the targets vary, and I think the due date is passed on most of them already several times. What we've done in this study, we've identified a number of barriers, 14 to be exact, to women's deployment to peace operations. And we're also suggesting a few recommendations to overcome these barriers. We're also suggesting that much more research and assessment of these barriers and possible remedies need to be done.
So give me an example, a typical obstacle to female participation in UN peacekeeping operations, bearing in mind there are, what, 15 of them, 110,000 peacekeepers.
The very first one I think we're citing in our report is that women aren't aware of deployment opportunities. Already when they join, or even when they consider joining the national forces, police or military forces, they might not be aware that that's an option to actually go on an international career. Once they might have joined the national forces, they might not be informed about deployment opportunities. And women have often less information about such opportunities than men do.
I wonder, how does the Secretary General's, the UN Secretary General's call for reform of the UN's peace and security architecture so that the operations can be stronger in prevention, more agile in mediation and more cost effective, what would the advantages be to having more women peacekeepers or as police officers?
There is anecdotal evidence that more women can more easily reach out to civilian populations. They also contribute to a sense or perception of more legitimacy of the peace operation because it sort of reflects the demography a bit better. Women tend to be less prone to use force to mediate conflict situations. All of this is just anecdotal, though, which is why when we're mentioning this in our report, we also mentioned that much more study needs to be done to make sure that we actually have a solid evidence base for these claims.
What would you recommend then? How should we go about putting more women into peacekeeping operations?
Step one would obviously be to make sure that women are part of the planning of a peace operation from the beginning, the design of the camps, the recruitment. I mentioned that women don't have information about our deployment opportunities, to make sure that women that have deployment experience actually serve as role models and inspiration for women to seek deployment. What's really important in the long run, if we want to achieve sustainable results in this area, is to change the attitudes throughout the whole sort of decision-making process regarding deployment to UN peacekeeping operations.
Right, so you have come up with a study, the ELSI Initiative for Women in Peace Operations.
So yes, this study that we've undertaken has been commissioned by Global Affairs Canada, and it's part of their initiative that they launched last year, which is the ELSI Initiative for Women in Peace Operations, aiming at increasing the number of women participating in uniformed roles in UN peace operations. And the name is referring, as you say, to Elsie McGill.
An inspirational aeronautical engineer, yes. So what else is there? What's the real key thing? What would you say to Antonio Guterres, who wants reform?
Well, I think it's hard to single out any one of these as the most important. The kind of very often recurring barrier in the literature that we've been studying and people that we've been talking to is family restrictions. Another one is sexual harassment during deployment. We're making some 50 recommendations, so I'm not going to single out any one of them necessarily, but maybe if I am talking to Secretary General Guterres, one issue we have come across is the lack of data, gender disaggregated data from, for instance, DPKO, but also from the national troop and contributing countries.
So both from the UN Department of Peacekeeping Operations and national bodies, countries which contribute troops?
Yes, so it's hard to start remedying a situation that we're not totally grasping. And with more data and more accurate data and more in-depth assessment of these barriers, we would know what kind of problem we're dealing with, and it would be much easier to design the response to these problems.
What is the accountability for this? Who is going to be checking on the progress of this initiative?
Well, this initiative is a Canada-led initiative, as I said, and they have a contact group gathered around this initiative of a number of member states that will be very much engaged in this initiative during its four-year tenure. We're obviously hoping, as DCAF, and I'm sure Canada and their partners in the contact group, that this initiative is going to have repercussions well beyond those 4 years. So I'm sure we are going to have the opportunity to talk about this again.